Consider these questions and think about them rather than writing them down. This is an opportunity to begin to discover your feelings and situate your thoughts calmly. Thinking exercise on attachment. Which style best describes you? Remember that these distinctions aren't carved in stone and that you are trying to figure out how you relate and react most of the time. Secure. Needs and wants intimacy. Trusts that people will be responsive. In touch with and aware of her feelings and thoughts. Able to self-regulate in times of stress. Anxious preoccupied. Characterized by wanting intimacy but being consumed by worry about rejection and abandonment. Prone to anger and jealousy and emotional flooding. Avoidant fearful. Shies away from connection because she believes people are untrustworthy and unreliable and doesn't want to feel vulnerable. Has a low opinion of self. Avoidant dismissive. Has a high opinion of self and a low opinion of others. Believes people are too needy and dependent and prides herself on her self-reliance and independence and not needing intimacy. Thinking exercise on motivation. Are you generally more motivated by approach or avoidance? Are you willing to risk failure if you see an opportunity, or do you back off from risking failure at all costs? If you are in a relationship that's going through a rough patch, are you more likely to initiate a discussion, no matter how difficult, that might fix the problems you're having? Or are you more likely to avoid talking about them directly and let sleeping dogs lie? Focus on what drives your behavior most of the time. Thinking exercise on experience. Begin to cool process by recalling a specific incident either from your childhood or any other point in your life that involves your interacting with your mother. Again, do not relive the moment in the blow-by-blow way because that will just have you re-experiencing your feelings and won't do anything to increase your understanding. Recall the incident as though you are seeing it from a distance and as though it happened to someone else. Focus on why you felt as you did. What do you see now in the pattern of interaction that you might not have before? How would you describe your own demeanor? Were you frightened or defensive? Did you flood with feeling, or did you force yourself to go numb? How, if at all, did you defend yourself? Discovery Stage, Chapter 2. Thinking about and writing on maternal patterns. Of the 8 toxic patterns, dismissive, controlling, unavailable, unreliable, self-involved, combative, enmeshed, role-reversed. Which most accurately describes how your mother treated you most of the time in childhood and adolescence? Spend some time thinking. Jot down the descriptions, and then write down whatever words and thoughts come to mind. Yes, it's meant to be spontaneous and not thought out or orchestrated, so please, right off the top of your head. If it makes you anxious, stop and take a break. Writing on past interaction. Go back to the thinking exercise on experience. This time, prepare yourself to write about it in as much detail as possible, focusing on why you felt as you did. For example, I got angry because it was clear that she wasn't listening and kept saying that she had better things to do. She kept denying that she'd written me that email even after I handed her a printed copy, and it made me feel as frustrated and crazy as I felt when I was 10. I felt scared because she used her physical size to intimidate me all the time. Describe your reactions, homing in on why you acted and felt as you did. Thinking exercise on boundaries. Understanding the balance between independence and interdependence is key to having successful and intimate relationships. Take some time to explore your own worries and concerns about boundaries. Are you someone who needs her own space and feels encroached upon easily? Or are you someone who feels shut out when a close friend or partner needs time and space alone? This is a thinking exercise, but you may also want to tackle the question in your journal as well. Writing on self-image. This activity has three parts and is meant to be done over the course of several days, not all at once. Part 1. Describe yourself as a close friend might, beginning with a physical description and then going on to detail your personality, your talents and gifts, your strengths and weaknesses. Make your description as detailed as possible. Part 2. Wait a few days and then go back to what you wrote and answer the following questions. How accurate or inaccurate is the description? Why? Did taking the perspective of a friend permit you to see things about yourself that you might not have if you had written the description from a first-person perspective? How would your first-person description be different? Part 3. Choose 10 words that you think describe you most accurately and explain in your journal why these words capture who you are as a person. Feel free to include both strengths and weaknesses as long as you don't self-criticize. These words can describe character traits: diligent, careful; personality traits: outgoing, reserved; behaviors: impulsive, cautious; talents and gifts: musical, artistic, intelligent, athletic; or physical characteristics: strong, coordinated, pretty, clumsy. Discernment Stage, Chapter 3. Writing on Siblings. Describe as concretely as you can how your mother's treatment of you and your siblings was different or alike. Think about whether how she treated each of you was a function of the child's personality, maternal goodness of fit, or something else, and write down your thoughts, illustrating each with a cool recall of an incident that exemplifies the treatment. Creating a family power chart. You can do this as a drawing, or you can use words to describe as accurately as you can how power worked in your family, beginning with your mother and including your father and siblings. You should include yourself as well. This is an important exercise, and you may want to do it over the course of several days or sittings. The point of the exercise is to be able to see the dynamics on the page objectively. This fictional example is done in words, but it could be visualized as a pyramid, with Mom at the top with Dad just above her, with arrows pointing to each of the children to indicate interaction among the children, or a series of overlapping circles. Dad: king, but largely absentee. Always on Ben's case, but uninvolved with me and David. Very proud of how well he provided for us, especially proud of Mom, a trophy wife. Everyone, including Mom, tiptoed around him. Ben was the punching bag. Mom: vain, controlling, and really insecure at heart. Very worried about what people thought of her and terrified of somehow failing. Always worried that Dad would leave her. David, the middle kid, was her favorite. She picked on Ben in solidarity with Dad and ignored me. Ben, the oldest. Angry young kid, even angrier adolescent and adult. A lousy student and athlete. The weak link in the family's public face. Bullied me, but hated David. David, the ultimate obedient child. Did everything Mom asked and curried favor as he got older so he could get all the goodies, which he did. Best room, went on trips, got a car, which Ben was denied. A mediocre student, but popular, which counted a lot in my parents' eyes. He ignored me and tattled on Ben as much as he could. Me, the afterthought. Not pretty enough to warrant Mom's attention or popular enough either. A good student, but neither parent cared much about that. Unheard and unseen except by Ben, the bully, I had no sense of myself as being part of the family. Writing on emotional intelligence. Consider these words and pick the ones that best describe 1. How you felt when you were alone with your mother. 2. How you felt when you were alone with your father. 3. How you felt when you were with your siblings, if you had them. And 4. How you felt when the family was all together. Write them down in your journal and expand on your perceptions of the family dynamic as you experienced it. Upset, disconnected, afraid, angry, tense, bewildered, anxious, fractious, tense, on edge, alone, isolated, belligerent, worried, sad, depressed, relaxed, empty, unfeeling, walled off, armored, happy, uncomfortable, calm, adrift, hopeful, defensive, frustrated. Writing on past interaction. Describe an incident from your family life, it can be recent or drawn from childhood, that captures the dynamics and interactions of family members. Be as descriptive and objective as you can, especially when writing about yourself. Discernment stage. Chapter 4. Writing on labeling emotions. Describe in as much detail as possible a situation that you found stressful. It could be an argument you had with someone, a situation in which you felt challenged, or anything else that acted as an emotional trigger. Reread what you wrote, and then describe the emotions you experienced in words, trying hard to distinguish them with some precision, and explain why you felt as you did. Here's a slightly fictionalized example to use as a guide. We were all leaving an event, and I handed my iPhone to my close friend so I could put my coat on. He put the phone on a side table instead of holding it as I thought he would and put his own phone next to it. Someone else knocked my phone down and it shattered. I was upset, and we got into a heated argument about whose fault it was. He defended himself. He thought the phones would be safe or he wouldn't have put his there, and the guy who knocked it off, by accident, said the phone shouldn't have been lying on a low table in a coat room. Feelings. Anger. Upset and disappointment with my friend not taking responsibility. Embarrassed at losing my temper in a public place in front of colleagues. Worried about the unbudgeted cost of a new phone. Insecure and uncertain about how to deal with my friend now. Distressed at cost to friendship. Writing on maternal patterns. Go back to the notes you jotted down in your journal on the 8 toxic patterns of maternal behavior. Please review those thoughts and words, and then use those words and thoughts to write about a situation in which those behaviors were in evidence. Use as much detail as possible in your description, focusing on why you felt as you did in the moment. Make sure you are using cool processing. If the act of writing is making you relive the moment, stop. Writing on reactivity. Describe an argument or disagreement you had in the recent past with someone in your life. It could be an intimate, an acquaintance, or even a colleague. Describe it as fully as you can, including the dialogue. Read what you wrote, and now focus on the moments that, in hindsight, were clearly triggers for you. Write a list of those triggers, what the person said or did, and what you felt in the moment. Writing on emotional intelligence. This activity has 2 parts and is an exploration of whether your emotional reactions are consistent in stressful situations, no matter what the specifics of the interactions are. Do you experience the same emotions again and again, or in a familiar combination? Are you reacting to content or are you being driven by triggers? Part 1. Write about 3 kinds of situations that will predictably stress you out. They could be moments when you feel threatened by someone, are in an argument with someone, are being dressed down in public or criticized, feel excluded, or any other situation you can identify as being highly stressful and predictive of reactivity on your part. Describe each of these situations as completely as you can. Part 2. Reread what you have written and then focus on how your reactivity connects to either your experiences in childhood or your mother's treatment of you. Identify the triggers as much as you can and write about the specific emotions you feel in those moments and how they reflect the past more than the present. Distinguish Stage. Chapter 5. Writing on Seeing Patterns. This activity is in 2 parts. Part 1. Pick 3 important relationships you've had in your adult life, the ones that either mattered most to you or influenced you most. You can include relationships that taught you both positive and negative things, since the goal here is to ferret out your patterns of behavior. Think about the personalities and qualities of each person and write down words and phrases that describe him or her best and focus on 1 or 2 specific memories of each relationship that seem to sum up what was both good and bad about the connection. Part 2. Wait at least 2 days and preferably as long as a week and go back to your descriptions and study them. Then write down the patterns and similarities you see among them and answer the following questions. What insight do you have into your choices of partners and friends? Is there a common thread that links these relationships? Were your behaviors in each relationship consistent? Writing on conflict resolution. Describe the dynamic between you and another person in your own words, focusing on how the two of you deal with disagreements or differences. The person could be a friend or a romantic partner, past or present. Focus on your own behaviors and reactions. Writing on perspective. Adopt the point of view of a stranger who doesn't know you and write a description of how you and your partner's interactions might be seen from the stranger's perspective. Write about 1 positive interaction and 1 that involved some tension or disagreement, using dialogue and as much detail as possible. Answer this question. What do you see in your description of your own behaviors that you hadn't realized before? Writing on reactivity. The goal here is to see how your reactivity affects your relationship with someone close to you. This exercise has 2 parts, done days apart. Part 1. Choose an interaction involving minor stress. You feel frustrated or misunderstood. Your partner isn't listening to you. And 1 that pushes all your buttons. You think your partner is lying or waffling. You've had a knockdown, drag-out fight. And describe each objectively, using cool processing. Then look at your own responses as you've described them and tackle whether these are your typical responses, specifically focusing on your motivations. For example, are you primarily focused on dodging the conflict, or are you looking to find a way to resolve it? Do you immediately apologize to try to dissipate the tension, or do you get defensive and angry? Part 2. After several days, review your descriptions and see if you see a pattern in your responses that connects to your mother's treatment of you in childhood or that of other family members. Write about how your responses in the present are connected to older patterns of behavior. Disarm Stage, Chapter 6. Writing on the Dance of Denial. Using cool processing, spend some time thinking about how you have excused, denied, rationalized, or normalized your mother's behaviors. Think about it objectively and don't indulge in judgment or self-blame. See it from a third-party perspective and write in your journal about the ways in which you participated. Then, answer the following questions. In hindsight, what motivated you to act as you did? What were your goals? To what degree do you still feel the tug of the core conflict? Are there specific moments or instances when you feel more conflicted? Make a list of them and explore why they are triggers and what you feel. Writing on cues and primes. Pick a recent situation you found yourself in that made you very reactive and triggered intense emotions. Using a third-person perspective, describe your reactions and their sources as completely as you can. End the entry by reflecting on how you wish you had acted if your best self had shown up. Writing on sensitivity. How much influence do cues and primes have on how you think and feel? Does the weather affect you, for example, in a demonstrable way? Do you largely respond to sound and words in an environment and interchange, or are you more visual and attuned to how a place looks and someone's physical appearance, facial expressions, and body language? Explore your thoughts in writing, giving examples, and then answer the following questions as fully as you can. When you meet someone new, what types of cues do you tend to rely on? Are you more sensitive to negative or positive cues? Explain. In what ways can you improve your response to positive cues and primes? Writing on rejection sensitivity. As objectively as you can, spend time thinking about how sensitive you are to rejection or possible signs of rejection. Write about how your sensitivity has affected you in all areas of your life, including both friendship and romantic relationships, as well as your work. See whether or not there are areas that are more affected and others that are less affected, and explore why. Reclaim Stage, Chapter 7. Writing on Cognitive Reappraisal. Describe a recent emotionally stressful situation, such as an argument you had with someone close to you, or a situation in which you felt emotionally threatened in some way. Focus on why you felt as you did, using cool processing. Now, rewrite your description of your behaviors and feelings as they might have been had you availed yourself to cognitive reappraisal. The closer you come to capturing the moment-by-moment escalation of your emotions, the better. Writing on naming emotions. This exercise should be done over the course of at least a week or longer. Becoming conscious of your feelings in the moment can help you become more adept at naming emotions. Forcing yourself to take a time out from the rush of daily life and giving yourself time to reflect on what you're feeling and why can help you make real progress. You'll need a pocket-sized pad or notebook, so that when you perceive a shift in your emotions or a change in mood, you can jot down your observations. At the end of each day, use these observations to write about what you felt and why, working hard to name emotions with specificity and to identify triggers with precision. Making this a conscious exercise will make you more aware of your emotions, especially if you're used to pushing off from them, and improve your ability to know exactly what you're feeling. Let's say, for example, you had a stressful day at work and get home feeling wiped. Spend some time thinking about the interactions that made you feel stressed and specifically the emotions you felt. For example, my colleague didn't do her part on time, which pissed me off, but I got increasingly anxious that I would get blamed. Anger morphing into anxiety. Or, I was so frustrated that no one responded to my email blast, and then I started worrying that maybe I'd done something wrong. Frustration changing into self-criticism, etc. Writing on self-compassion. Combining goal setting with an effort at self-compassion in a journal entry can be very instructive and revealing. Write down 5 of your goals. They can be personal or professional, as well as short-term, intermediate, and long-view ones. Under each goal, describe your personal attributes and qualities that you believe will make this goal possibly attainable. Then, imagine what you would say to yourself if you encountered a setback or failed to achieve any one of these goals. Explore what your self-compassionate voice sounds like. Redirecting Stage, Chapter 8. Writing on Dealing with Your Mother. If you are still on the fence about how to manage your relationship to your mother, think about the following questions and then answer them as fully and honestly as you can in your journal. What are the primary obstacles to salvaging or repairing the relationship? Is it possible to discuss the issues with your mother? If not, why? What rules or boundaries would have to be in place and respected for the relationship to continue? Do you believe low or infrequent contact is an option? Why or why not? How do you feel about maternal divorce or going no contact? What are your greatest fears and worries about the decision you will make? Writing on relational goals. Taking a survey of all your relationships can be a helpful step toward growth. Of course, seeing how your behaviors contribute to the shape these connections take continues to be paramount. There will be some relationships you may wish to change or dispense with entirely, as well as important ties to others that need to be strengthened. Spend time thinking and then writing about 5 relational goals you wish to set for the future. They can be general, expand my circle of friends, develop a support system, or highly specific, communicate my needs more clearly to my partner or spouse, deal with my emotions when I argue with my sister. For each goal, come up with plans and strategies to achieve it. Writing on self-definition. This exercise has 2 parts and explores whether you define yourself in simple or complex ways. Complexity yields greater personal resilience when there's a setback in life. The self is defined by relational roles, interests, activities and hobbies, and work or vocation. Part 1. Spend time thinking about how you define yourself, and then write about it with as much detail as possible. In addition to listing the definitions, expand upon why or why not these definitions sustain you in both good and stressful times. Part 2. Describe how you want to redefine yourself in the months and years ahead. This may include how you will think about yourself. I want to define myself not by my childhood or my status as a daughter, but as the woman I am today, as well as activities and roles you will take on in the future. Once again, enumerate how you will achieve these goals. Writing on motherhood. Whether you are a parent, still considering the question, or have already decided against motherhood, it's important to explore and clarify this issue, which is so closely bound both to childhood experiences and your definition of self. Answer the following questions in as much detail as possible, plumbing your deepest thoughts. What primarily drives your thinking about motherhood? What, if any, are your greatest concerns about the choice that you are making? How does being a mother or choosing not to mother define you? How do your childhood experiences influence your thinking? Recovery Stage, Chapter 9. Writing and Reflecting on Healing. This exercise should be done in 2 steps, preferably several days apart. Give yourself time to explore your thoughts in depth. Part 1. Spend time exploring what you believe healing from childhood experience entails and whether you think that healing fully is possible. Be as honest as you can be with yourself, and then write about the degree to which you have begun healing and what stands in the way of coping with your childhood experiences. Detail the specific issues you still have trouble with. Part 2. Set at least 5 goals for healing as you look forward. You can, of course, set more. Be as specific as possible as you write about them, and come up with ways that you will implement these goals. For example, I will try to be more open to experiences with new people by letting down my guard and engaging in new activities. I will work through the pain in the holiday season by making plans with friends and doing things for myself and the people I care about. I will actively work on self-compassion by writing down small victories in my journal every day. Writing on the mother you deserved. Visualizing and then mourning the mother you deserved and needed are important to recovery. Writing may help you with this exercise as you imagine this mother in all the detail that you can, describing her personality and her reactions. And then, move on to describe the interactions you would have had with her. Writing about the mother you deserved helps to legitimize the needs that weren't met in childhood, and your ability to summon up this mother in times of stress will be bolstered and solidified by the act of writing. Writing on seeing yourself as mom didn't. Shifting your perspective on the mother-daughter relationship by focusing on what your mother missed out on is one way of moving yourself out of the old role. Using cool processing, make a list of all the things your mother never noticed about you, appreciated, or paid attention to, moments and milestones she wasn't a part of, as well as the people in your life she never really got to know or enjoy. Expand on each item with lots of detail. Writing on momentum. Charting your progress, baby steps turn into strides over time, can keep you encouraged and shifts the focus from your flaws and weaknesses to positive changes. Pick a skill you've been actively working on. It could be managing your emotions, dealing with rumination, veering away from the habit of self-criticism, and write a progress report on how your efforts have begun to pay off and what you'd like to be able to achieve in the near future. Date your entry and go back to it in a month and update it. You can do this as often as you like so you can keep being your own best cheerleader. You can chart as many skills as you wish. Revisiting the core conflict. This isn't a single exercise, but one you should go back to again and again as a way of mapping your recovery. Again, dating your entries will be of use to you over time. Examine how you've been dealing with the core conflict and building your ability to let go by writing about it in detail. Explore how letting go of the core conflict helps to redefine your sense of self. Then, finally, journal about where you hope to find yourself in 6 months' time, a year from now, and 5 years hence. Go back to this exercise as often as you need to, reflecting on your previous entries and continuing to write. This concludes Daughter Detox by Peg Streep. Narrated by Callie Bollier. Copyright 2017 by Peg Streep. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Peg Streep and was produced in the year 2018 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.